Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
All right, Schmovale coming in hot today with some Guilty Movie Pleasures. I'm Josh McCuga alongside my co-host, star of Love with a Side of Kissing, Ben Begley.
Now you're just intentionally messing up the credit every time. And I love that you're just fixated on the Hallmark movie and nothing else. You're just like, every time I intro Ben, it's going to be something about the Hallmark movie, and I'm going to mangle the title. Love with a Chance of Kissing?
Yeah. No, Love with a Side of Kissing.
Love with a Side of Kissing.
You're welcome.
It's a Valentine's Day restaurant.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
It's good. Okay. No, you know I love you. Because you've done so much stuff. You're on TV for all this stuff, but the only thing I can always like...
I love it. I think it's the best intro ever. If I ever do stand-up again, I expect you to introduce me that way.
Bobblehead Begley in studio. We just finished it. Since we started this show, JTE, fans on Twitter, Facebook, Schmoville, everybody has requested that we do this horrendous movie.
I have PTSD right now from it. I'm still reeling. Like, I'm gonna need a few minutes of this show to warm up my brain because it was rough.
Oh yeah.
It was brutal. Just so you know, audience, we're not faking this. We literally just watched it in the screening room next door and finished it 5 minutes before coming on here live.
Ran into studio and all hands and head. Kind of like if your team is undefeated and you just lose to the worst team in the league.
At one point during the movie, I actually stood up and walked in the corner like this.
I'm done.
In the corner like I had a dunce hat on.
I cannot take it. Okay, first time I saw this movie, I was telling you before.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved DuckTales.
Who didn't?
I mean, it was an amazing show. Our buddy Brian O'Sullivan does an amazing song about DuckTales and the breaking down of DuckTales. If you guys look him up, Brian O'Sullivan, find him on Twitter, B.O. Comedy.
Look at that. You just got free publicity, Brian O'Sullivan.
Go find his video about DuckTales, or if you see him,
if you see him in person, ask him.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. Anyway, so we love DuckTales in my family, and when the Howard the Duck promos came on, it was with that song Howard the Duck. So I figured it was a DuckTales kind of spin-off.
You were four
as well, in 86, and we figured it was a duck kind of thing. So we told my dad we want to go see Howard the Duck, and he and my mom, my brother and I all went to see Howard the Duck. And I know 20 minutes in, my dad and mom were like, what is this? There's duck nipples. And then you see Leah Thompson with underwear on and a duck and a woman possibly going at it. We didn't leave the theater. We were never one of those families that got up and left. But I'm really positive that my parents were super close to just dragging us out of that theater.
I thought you said they did drag you, but you're four,
no,
so who
four.
The hell remembers?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, I got a memory when it comes to that kind of stuff, weirdly enough. Yeah, but.
I remember nothing from my fourth year of life.
And I'm pretty sure that I remember this movie being just as bad as it is today. It's just that we can pick it out more.
To be honest, I don't remember when I first saw it. I remember seeing it with my parents and them getting freaked out 20 minutes in at the weird, which we'll talk about, the weird, like, sex dungeon sauna. Burke Williams for perverts and prostitutes is what it is. That's basically what it was. I remember them being freaked out by that and just shutting it off. But I don't remember when I saw the entire movie.
All the way through?
I remember later, like, watching it on TV and it was edited with commercials. And then I'm sure at some point, I know I've seen it in its entirety, because when we were watching it today, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen this garbage. Yeah, I've seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, you sent me a text yesterday that said, and I'm pretty sure before you sent the text, it was just...
Yeah,
you can't really write out the long sigh of frustration, but it was a very lengthy text of you saying, "I'm 45 minutes into this piece of garbage. I didn't realize how bad it is, how weird it is, how creeped out I am."
And then that's where we just decided to watch it today and make fun of it together, because it just at home alone, it just felt so just. It was just a lonely... I was an island, and I was just sitting there, and the only person there was Howard, and it was... That is not my desert island movie. Ugh.
And here's the terrible part about this movie, too. It's almost 2 hours.
Yeah,
it is a long movie.
Before we get into the plot, there are a few things I'd like to... usually, like, some things are, like, charmingly 80s bad. Mm-hmm. This movie has moments of that, but then too many terrible moments. It's too long. There's a whole... We'll talk about it in the beginning. There's a whole 20-minute section that doesn't need to be there.
No.
It's marketed as a kid's movie, but incredibly perverted and terrifying
it's
in the
PG.
End. And also, so if they would have just made this an R-rated kind of raunchy movie, it would have been awesome. But they played the middle line, and so it's too creepy for kids and too stupid and hammy for adults. And Tim Robbins, you would never know he would make the shot. You would think his career is over
Done.
After this film.
Yeah. That he would gone away and hidden like Rick Moranis. Because
it's like
that's...
Jake Gyllenhaal and Bubble Boy, though. You never know. Yeah. You never know.
That's another guilty movie pleasure.
But, I mean, come on. Bubble Boy became Nightcrawler?
Yeah. And
not
and
the X-Men Nightcrawler.
Filzy became Andy Dufresne?
Filzy.
His name is Filzy.
Beverly/Leah Thompson became on Switched at Birth and Back to the Future. She's
and Caroline in the City.
Yeah, I mean, let's Leah Thompson. Hello,
10 out of 10. Just
she's
sexy.
Perfect in this movie.
No, I mean, who cares if her acting is absolutely terrible? That we've seen better.
Everybody's
acting.
In it.
Yeah, in stage plays and
if
acting
you make
class,
Tim Robbins bad, it's Leah Thompson. Come on.
Well, I don't think
Lucas
was ever really into performances.
Well, he didn't even direct this. This other guy directed it, where they were saying that it was his second feature and his final feature, his final theatrical.
Ugh,
film.
That poor guy.
I want to look up and see what else he's done.
You got to imagine if you went into if he's still alive. I don't know. William Huck, I believe, is the guy's name.
Yeah.
If you were to go into his house today, there would either be pictures of Howard the Duck everywhere because he's still proud of the masterpiece that he made, or everything. There's a duck and it's like Ray Finkel in Ace Ventura, where it's die duck die laces out duck. You know, that works well because it's Dan Marino, so it's die Dan die.
I like that.
Well, he was as a producer on. I mean, hold on, let's see director here. We should have. I mean.
It's just we weren't as prepared for this.
Howard the Duck, Best Defense, French Postcards, and Messiah of
Evil.
That's it.
Howard the Duck killed his career.
Yeah. But then he wrote a bunch of stuff. So,
he wrote something.
American Graffiti. He helped write Indiana Jones, Temple of the Doom.
Secrets of a Hollywood Nurse. Sounds like a really good one.
Yeah,
so
yeah. That was in 2008. Between 1994 and 2008, he had done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, he's making a resurgence.
I'm pretty sure he was in a Promises type of psych ward where he kept just seeing ducks just flying out of nowhere. He hates the Oregon football team. Well, just brutal. Poor guy.
Don't get me wrong, there are moments where we laughed out loud because it was genuinely funny and also just genuinely so bad that it's like watching a really confusing train wreck with a duck that's causing the wreck. It's just...
Everywhere the duck goes, a train car derails.
Yeah, it's just... So I don't even know where to begin with this movie.
Well, let's just say this. For everybody out there, if you guys don't know, this is the first movie ever made based on a Marvel character. So, if we're talking about befores and afters, Bubble Boy to Nightcrawler, Filzy to Andy Dufresne, Howard the Duck to the Avengers. Okay?
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's unbelievable that this is the first one and that Marvel Studios didn't just collapse. Do you think you go into Marvel and it's got like every movie they made, and then Howard the Duck's just like in the guest bathroom above a urinal?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah. Or Howard the Duck is like the you know how sometimes they have advertisements that you pee on in the urinal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it is. It's just the Howard the Duck's poster there, and you just piss all over it in Marvel.
Or there's a bathroom called the Howard the Duck bathroom, and it really stinks. And if you release a terrible movie, if you're in trouble at Marvel Studios, that's the only one you're allowed to use.
That's the weirdest punishment I've ever heard. Your movie really stunk, so now you have to literally go in a bathroom that stinks based on one of our stinkiest movies.
Hey, I'm just trying to think.
I liked it. No, I think that is a very imaginative punishment.
All right.
Should we do the...
Yeah. So,
okay.
Last week we did the plot in 2 minutes. This week we can definitely do the plot in 2 minutes.
Oh, we got 10 seconds.
We can honestly do it in upwards of 15 seconds if you wanted to, but we're going to go
Three,
full 2 minutes.
Two. Now?
And go. Starts in an alternate universe where everybody's a duck. Guy who's obviously, like, sort of down on his luck. We're not sure if he's a movie star. He was in a band.
Because there's all these confusing posters where it's like Breeders of the Lost Ark and these Lucas properties.
All puns, all terrible puns on ducks. Okay. Yeah. He sits in his favorite chair. He's smoking a cigar. Can't find anything on
pulls
TV.
Pulls out a Playboy with a duck on it. Goes, duck. What? And, first duck nipples.
And then his chair starts rumbling. His recliner sucks him through an apartment building. You see a second set of duck nipples. A woman singing
in a bathtub where she doesn't react at all.
Duck chair lands on Earth in Cleveland.
Of all places.
He sees a club. He starts getting attacked by punks, and then he goes into...
He gets taken and handed off to a nerd. The punks, instead of beating him up, throw him into a club, and then he gets, like, thrown out of there, and this hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
Then he saves Leah Thompson, because he knows Quack Fu. They immediately fall in love. Then she takes him to a scientist, played by Tim Robbins.
That's correct.
Tim Robbins turns out to be a janitor there, basically. He's a lab assistant. So they get pissed at him for no reason.
Yeah.
Leave. Then Leah Thompson and Howard the Duck get pissed at each other for no reason.
Right.
Leave. He goes to the creepy sex dungeon place where he gets a job.
He goes to an employment place, and the employment place puts him inside a sex dungeon / Burke Williams.
Burke Williams, yeah.
Right. And then he realizes
he can't quits there.
He quits there, goes and finds Leah Thompson again.
They're buddy-buddy again.
Best buds again. Flint, Filsy walks in with a couple other scientists. Other scientists are like,
they almost have sex.
Yeah, they're weird.
Almost bestiality.
The scientists are like, we think we found how you got here. They take him to this thing.
Everything's gone to shit.
27 seconds. Go.
Everything's gone to shit. The Dr. Jennings' character has disappeared, and then this is where it gets really crazy. Apparently, he's been infected by a dark overlord, and then there's this really long sequence where they're just casually hanging out with him until things go crazy at a diner. Then there's this big chase where he takes Leah Thompson and goes with his energy tube or whatever, and then they basically chase him in an airplane, and I'm getting so stressed out. And they fight with this one gun that kills them all, and then at the end, he saves the day.
We got to 2 minutes, but we missed about the last 35 minutes. This was a no spoiler 2 minute,
yeah, no spoiler
breakdown. And then the movie ends with this song, JTE, play it. Wait, can you play it? Because
give him a second.
Give him a second.
Just to elaborate, we'll elaborate on the plot holes of the ending.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. I got so I kept looking at the clock and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was so scared.
You don't do well under pressure, eh, Benny?
I do. I just
go to the Howard the Duck bathroom immediately.
Hashtag duck nipples.
Oh, this is like the end of the movie.
Oh yeah.
You know what? Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Leah Thompson did all her own singing in this.
She is a straight 10.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could use a lineup that Howard would probably use and my dad's friends, she's a fox.
She's a fox.
And Katie Seagal's sister plays the drums. Howard the Duck! I don't know what she says there.
Something about
the duck. Okay.
Something
you can
about
cut
the fellas touch. I love him apart. I want to look up the JT. Can you find the lyrics of what she says there?
If you can find the lyrics, and then you have to sing them in Leah Thompson's voice. So
yeah. I love though in the 80s and 90s how they had such blatant. It's like it worked for Ghostbusters, and so every other movie did a very overt
rock theme song,
yeah, where it's like Garbage Pail Kids, like, you can be a Garbage Pail Kid. It's like,
go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
There's a Demolition Man theme song, right, isn't there? He's a Demolition Man. There's something, I'm pretty sure.
There's,
if there isn't, there should be.
Well, there, you know, the DuckTales song and Howard the Duck song are pretty much the same thing. It's like,
yeah.
DuckTales, woo, Howard the Duck.
Here, wait, let's sing it at the same time, ready? DuckTales. Oh, yeah, I'll take Howard.
Okay.
Howard the Duck. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Yeah. I like how long it took us to... We both just wanted to sing DuckTales because it's a better theme.
What part of the song do you want to know? I got the lyrics.
Okay, it's something about the fellas, I love him the most, duck, or something.
What does she say
this
next?
This is ridiculous. It says, this guy's original, he's got the juice. Well, hey, look out, world, the duck is on the loose.
No, there's another part. That...
Anyway, so it goes, uh-oh, get the planet on the phone. Ain't no time to waste. Tell him he ain't coming home. Join the human race. Call him Howard the Duck.
Done. Join the human race.
Yeah.
Ain't no way to conceal it. What is this? With the feathers touch.
With the feathers touch, I love him apart.
What?
Calm Howard the Duck. And he shot an arrow straight through my heart.
With a feather's touch, I love him apart.
So wait, is he eventually going to start banging Leah Thompson?
I think that's insinuated. 100%. Because then at the very end, at the end credits, because you had to walk out and get ready, there's a moment where they do like the Shane and Rick Grimes thing in Walking Dead, where they go like head to head, like forehead to forehead. Yeah.
Carl. God damn it, Carl. Okay. Let's talk, I guess, maybe some plot holes here.
How about the entire movie is a plot hole? It's an hour and 50-minute plot hole.
Okay. I think your favorite one that you pointed out to me is pizza. Is the pizza?
There's all these inconsistencies about his world is exactly like ours, only they're ducks.
Right.
But he doesn't understand basic things. Like, at one point, he goes, what's pizza?
Yeah.
But then he understands, like,
retirement and...
Yeah.
And the American dream. Washington, D.C. is where he's from.
Also, there's, like, no real reason we should ever like Howard the Duck. Oh. He's a giant, perverted skeez ball. The unemployment woman... He lands and then gropes that woman. Like, I didn't do anything. What? What is
he's never seen human skin yet. His body and mind instinctively tell him, I should rub this woman's leg because she's getting fondled in an alley.
Or the employment agent woman when she bends over and he goes, yeah. Like he's going to bite her ass. What is that? Is that a, like he's hungry or it's so weird.
You know what he's like? He's sort of like, you know, in Coming to America when they go to Queens and they go to the apartment building and the actor who's now in Banshee, which is a great show if you guys don't watch Banshee, he tells him, you know, I got this apartment and he's smoking the cigar the whole time and he's just kind of a scumbag. That's Howard the Duck.
Yeah, that's Howard the Duck. Yeah.
He's Howard the Duck.
I could see that.
All of his one-liners are just terribly, you gotta imagine that Lucas, his only job in this was to punch it up with jokes he'd heard buddies tell in the cafeteria.
I don't know what Lucas's job was in this.
Holy Christ, this movie is so bad.
The biggest thing you and I talked about is that there's an unnecessary crisis moment 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
Like, first off, he meets this girl, he saves her after being a giant pansy.
Yeah.
And then now he's like, I know quack foo, and he fights all these dudes. Do we have that clip where he says, I'm an expert at quack foo? Oh, we'll get to quack foo. We're going to talk to Cody first.
We got Cody Hall on the line. He's a handsome guy. He's from Southern California. He's the associate producer of the show, runs a social network. I believe this morning was the first time he's ever seen Howard the Duck, so he's in the same place that
he's
we are.
He's still reeling.
In a wormhole of emotion brought on by a movie that can only be considered just terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Hall.
What the hell did I just watch?
What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, initial thoughts, initial impressions, talk.
I have no words to describe it, man. There are so many times where I was just like, why is this in a kid's movie? You have duck nipples within the first 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Duck boobs, sorry.
Twice.
Duck boobs, oh
well,
yeah.
Well, nipples on Howard, duck boobs.
Howard has a freaking condom in his wallet.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, we forgot about
condom.
That!
The duck condom!
Yeah, let's just... sorry, Cody, just to pause that for a second. We're going to explain to the audience in case they don't remember. Leah Thompson's character, Beverly, when Howard falls asleep, she's looking through his wallet and there's like blooming ducks. And then she pulls
blooming
out,
ducks.
She pulls out not a condom and a wrapper.
Oh, she forgot a mallard card.
A MasterCard. Yeah. She pulls out a condom not in a wrapper. It's unwrapped and it's like wrinkly and it looks like it may have been used and it's tiny.
Well, but in the duck world, you can reuse condoms.
Apparently. Because they, I
can't be sanitary.
And then she just, in her reaction, instead of being like, you were filthy, she just goes, how? Word, like, you cheeky little ducky. And she's smitten with him from the beginning when everything is like, you are a rapey little, just disease-infested bird.
So, birds
anyways,
carry Legionnaire's disease,
yeah,
in case we forget.
Especially if they're having sex with the same condom over and over again. It can't be sanitary. Cody, what else? Sorry, what else? Missed?
Yes.
I cut you off.
I want to know why they decided to have him get a job at that, like, freaking sex dungeon. Like,
why does that entire thing
that
exist?
When they were writing... movie, like, oh, let's have him work at a library. No, school. No, let's have him work at a sex dungeon.
I feel like what happened was he went, and I'm just throwing some backstory here.
Yeah, please, God, do.
This is what I think happened, Cody, and I'm not the script supervisor, so please don't blame me for it, but what happened was...
Apparently no one was. There was not. They didn't have the budget for a script supervisor. They spent $2 million on the Howard the Duck,
suit
which
yes.
we read. It actually was $2 million on the suit.
So what happened was he went into the employment office, and they asked asked him, you know, what kind of stuff he had done in the past. And they put it in the computer and it just rallied out some places he could work. And we know that he loves play duck. We know that he's really in, his neighbors are all new, like they're into really having sex and kind of he's into duck nipples. So he figured what's the best place to get acclimated into America, into Earth, is at a sex dungeon with a mud bath and people that aggressively hook up, but it doesn't make any sense because they're just like whacking their heads against one another.
Yeah, it's apparently a place that does not exist and has never existed. Instead of just making it like a strip club or a brothel, they confuse you by making it, like I said earlier, a Burke Williams that happens to just be like, if you combine Burke Williams with Amsterdam and my worst nightmares is what this place is. It's just like this skeezy, and there's a sweatiest manager ever.
Uh-huh.
He's like, are you supposed to fix anything? He's just like sweating. His glasses are all foggy. Where is this place?
It's very scary.
In Cleveland. I grew up in Akron, Ohio. I've been to Cleveland several times. Just so you know, there's no place like this in Cleveland. So don't get the wrong idea about Cleveland.
There might be, but there is no duck working there.
There is definitely no duck working there.
What else? What do you got like later on down the line? Because as this movie goes on, it doesn't get better. It gets worse.
It's two separate movies.
Incrementally gets worse.
Yeah, did they just have no budget to do the monster effects, so they just had the guy pretend to be the monster the whole time? Like, he was doing his weird voice.
That
sounds like Frieza from Dragon Ball Z or something.
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about as well. It's like any superhero movie, which I use that term very loosely here, any Marvel movie with something like that usually sets up the bad guy at least in the first act or second act. Mm. You know, right in the beginning of the second act. And this one, it's like, he doesn't even get set up till 50 minutes in, and then he doesn't transform till well over an hour in.
Yeah, and then the laser comes down. They're like, oh, there's going to be some bad guys coming. Better be careful. And you don't know. Again, the only person we know thus far is that Howard the Duck is trying to get home, and people are freaked out by him, except when he's riding on a bus and he gets up to leave instead of when he's actually on the bus.
Nobody noticed him on the bus.
At all. They're just like, oh my god, it's a duck! We've been on this bus for 45 minutes with a duck!
And it's not even like they had cell phones back then, so they couldn't be distracted by Twitter. They were just literally like, in their own world, not paying attention.
You know what's great about Howard the Duck? I'll just give you, my only favorite thing about this movie is that the least threatening animal in the animal kingdom is a duck.
Yeah.
Because they waddle around, you just throw breadcrumbs at them in a lake, they hang out.
They poop really liquidy. Yeah, I had pet ducks at one point in my life for about 2 months.
And then, did you get them for Easter?
Yeah, no, they were my neighbors next to my grandma had them, and we got them, and I named mine Plucky, and my sister named hers Daisy. And the problem is they shit.
Again, they didn't name them Howard, there's that.
They shit all over the yard, and so when you're doing slip and slide, you're slipping everywhere but on the slide. It's gross. Just gross. Yeah. They're filthy.
So the least threatening thing, yet everywhere Howard the Duck goes, sort of, people freak out. The only people that really freak out are the people when the director said, hey, freak out.
Yeah, the reaction to him is very inconsistent, especially in the sex dungeon when he's thrown into the hot tub and they don't notice because, like you said, they're just headbutting each other.
Yes.
Like, this is how we make out. There's a duck in the hot tub with me.
Cody, can we discuss Tim Robbins' acting real quick?
Oh, God.
I didn't even realize that was Tim Robbins until like halfway into the movie. Like, what is he doing?
Can we cue up one of those sound clips just to show his great acting? Like the, it's nothing! Haha! Or the...
Let's see.
Or we can wait. We can wait because we'll do a little game with that.
JT is running the board, if you guys couldn't tell.
What was the name of the clip you wanted?
Tim Robbins' duck sound, or it's nothing. Either one.
Howard!
That right there, can we play that one more time? Because that right there sums up
one more
Tim
time
Robbins' character.
Kids.
Howard!
Now,
what?
I'm pretty sure that the reason why Howard Hughes went into seclusion was that Katherine Hepburn ran into his apartment high on mushrooms and just said,
Howard!
I'm pretty sure the reason that Terrence Howard was fired for Iron Man 2 was because he started talking in the first person.
Third person.
Third person, that's what I meant, in the third person. And when he came into the makeup trailer, he yelled at Jon Favreau and Robert Downey Jr.
Howard!
Cody.
When Dwight Howard left the Lakers to start with the Rockets, I was so angry, I said,
Howard!
And I'm pretty sure when the Rockets came back into LA for the first time, Kobe Bryant during warmups went right up to Dwight Howard and said,
Howard!
Whenever my family would be like, we're going out to dinner to Howard Johnson's today, I'd be like, what?
Howard!
I don't know if I have anything else.
I don't know
that.
If I know any other Howards.
I don't know any other Howards.
All right. That's all I got. Cody, I'm just really glad that we were able to introduce you to this awful movie and that we ruined your day.
I'm sorry we gave you space rabies.
I'm not glad about this.
Hey, be careful of that space rabies. Like
yeah,
Ben
can we
said.
Play the space rabies clip for Cody? Because this quick. Is what we infected yeah. Cody with.
Face, you're a dead man, Ginger. What are you talking about? Space rabies.
Richie,
is that a real disease?
I don't know, Chidge. I heard something about that on the news.
I don't know, Chidge. I heard something about that on the news.
It was Bobcat
Goldthwait's brother, Dave Goldthwait. He was in, like, all these movies in the 80s, and all of them, he talked kind of like this.
Oh, man. I'm sorry you got space rabies, Cody. Yeah. Really, really apologize.
We all have space rabies now, thanks to Howard.
Sorry, we're not sure what we're going to do next week. We need a little downtime after what we just weathered through this. So thanks for calling in, buddy, and we'll see you on Thursday. And by the way, your new nickname is Ginger, like the manager.
Great.
Even though you don't have red hair, we're just going to call you Ginger because you have space.
I don't know.
Because you have space rabies.
I don't know, Cody. Right. You got space rabies.
See you, buddy.
Just do the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. All right, so then in the third act, it was a little...
JT, could you play another sound clip for us?
Can you play, yeah.
I don't know any of them.
I'm dead.
Yes, you are.
Do you think that's funny, Jenny?
I'm not Jenny anymore. The transformation is complete. I am now someone else.
Why is he so vague about it?
Yeah.
Why didn't in that moment he say, I am Drod from the planet Dracul or whatever? It's like, why does he say, I am
how awful
someone? It's like they were writing the script as they went and they hadn't figured out what his name was yet. So they're like, just say someone else. It'll seem.
And we'll ADR it later. And then they still didn't have anything.
It'll just seem ominous.
What's this actor's name again?
Shit. Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones, who apparently got arrested for child pornography.
Yeah. Ugh. That's gross.
How awful for him is the fact that he had to do basically the entire movie in that voice.
Yeah, because his character comes in for one scene where him and Tim Robbins and another scientist creepily walk into Leah Thompson's apartment without knocking,
and he seems,
without saying anything.
In that
scene. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Seems like a decent guy.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. And can we just back up to the, I'm talking in this voice, because we're going to talk about the almost duck sex scene.
And the duck sex? Oh, yeah.
Where it's cringeworthy.
Ugh.
It's that scene where Howard and, first off,
can
Howard.
Can I break this? Can I just say something
real quick? Break it down.
Okay. Howard's a pervert. We know this.
Yes.
Okay. So he's going to try anything to get with Leah Thompson.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if Leah Thompson in this scene, she crawls into bed and this is where Howard like checks out her ass. And for all intents and purposes, to be on side with Howard, she looks incredible.
She looks incredible.
I mean, she's got that like 80s lacy panties.
Yeah.
It's not so much a thong, but it's got the string on the side. She's wearing this like pink slip that is underneath. And she's a punk rocker. So you know she gets freaky, right? And all of her friends and stuff like that. Okay. She gets into bed with him and
then she says, come here and let's watch David Letterman.
Yeah.
It's like, what? And then they don't turn on a TV.
No. She just has a remote and then they decided to start like getting like fondly with it. Now, if Leah Thompson had been in really ugly pajamas, so like, you know, some raggedy pants and an old Van Halen t-shirt or something, right?
Still hot.
Still kind of hot. It would have been less, but she's not wearing any underwear.
No. Yeah, it's just like, what was she thinking coming out like that?
Again, I blame William Huck. And I do.
Huck, or however you say it.
Huck.
But then the thing is, then Howard comes on to her and he's like, hey, maybe we should try this. Then the second she goes, all right, ducky, he just becomes, he's like,
yeah.
And it's like, has that condom just been sitting in there since he was a 15-year-old duckling, you know, and he just hasn't used it and he's,
And let's go back real quick, because Cody brought it up. If you're a girl and you pick out a used condom out of a wallet, you don't go,
how?
You throw it away real
you go,
quick.
Ugh. And you go with hand sanitized.
That's
you
my
don't just sit.
Condom.
You don't just sit. Then she puts it down there, and then she sits back down and leans dreamily against the window and goes, what am I going to do with you, ducky? Do we have that clip? Yeah, I think we do. What am I going to... Yeah, here. What am I going to do with you? That clip. This is her reaction after pulling a condom out.
What am I going to do with you, ducky?
And again, if we can rewind to the fact that Howard the Duck has just landed on Earth.
Like, they've known each other for maybe 20 minutes.
Right.
30.
I've dated girls for years that had no nicknames for me besides Kooks. So, that's not really ideal.
I know, and if I never had a used condom in my wallet, but if I did, no matter how long I had been, even if my wife had found a used condom in my wallet, she would be like, what the fuck is this? She would not be like, oh
Benny.
No! Weird.
I'm just going to do the theme song a little bit. If you could just, you know, talk over it and be sentimental about the used condom in your wallet.
I'm still confused what we're doing real quick.
Just start talking.
Aw, look at this. He's got a little fake Discover card. And what's this? Is this a balloon? Oh, no, it's not. It's a condom. And it's wrinkly and it looks a little used. How adorable. Oh, Howie. Duck nipples.
Just take us out. Take us out.
I guess I'll go to sleep. Hope he doesn't try and put his duck penis in me. Really had no idea where I was going with that.
The movie like will have dynamic music and then just cut right away to.
That's it. That literally, it's the same theme.
The guy that composed the theme to this had a Casio, and it just said like loving theme, and he hit the button, and then actions theme, and he hit the button.
So. The thing is that in that moment where she's like seducing him and she puts her hand in his shirt and he gets like a feather boner where it goes in like
head feather boner?
Yeah, a mohawk boner.
Hashtag mohawk boner.
Hashtag mohawk boner. Hashtag oh Howie.
hashtag oh ducky.
Duck nipples. There's a lot of hashtags this episode.
Huge.
It's such a weird scene. And then she's like, oh, I'm just kidding. Let's give you a kiss. And then she mounts him and they show a shadow of the creepiest interspecies.
And then in walks Filzy, the other scientist we never see again. And
he disappears. You're right. For the rest of the
house. It's someone else.
Dr. Jennings, it's someone else. This fall. On this Fox. Fall. When you couldn't rename the character, you just called him someone else.
Yeah, that's someone else versus Howie.
In the script reading of this, you got to believe that somebody just said
someone else,
and they were like, "All right, can we hold on for a second? Can somebody put a script note there? We're gonna have to change that to something. It can't just be someone else." Okay, let's keep reading.
Yeah, let's keep reading, guys. Okay, and this guy transforms into this weird, creepy monster, and yet everybody has kind of a very nonchalant reaction to him in the diner until he goes, this sounds like a bunch of bullpucky. The guy literally says bullpucky, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, it's PG.
Except for duck nipples and borderline sex with a duck.
Yeah, I mean, when they sent the first copy of the movie to the whoever does this
MPAA,
they were like, well, I mean, it's duck nipples.
Duck nipples. That's the other thing. Why? I don't mean to fixate on this, but I've never seen a duck with nipples. So
nobody has.
But I guess it's because they're evolved ducks.
Oh, right. Right.
I don't know.
Based solely on that scene in the museum, they've evolved from just non-ducks, from eggs straight up into upright walking ducks.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to see what other plot. Well, we have some other fun sound clips.
Yeah, what
too.
Are the sound clips we got in there, JT?
It's nothing. That's a good one. Ooh, we could riff on that.
Too much toot. Shoot. Fly away.
No one laughs at a master of quack foo.
Just so you know, in the beginning of that, I was laughing over it a little, but he says, I've been doing too much toot.
Yeah, so is this a drug that, again, they made up, and then during the script reading, they're like, it's placeholder of toot. we're going to need to circle back on toot, and then everybody just gave up, so there's like, leave toot.
This entire script is just a placeholder for a better script. They're like, guys, yeah, it's a rough draft, and then they're like, oh shit, we're already producing it. Ugh, we have a lot of placeholders.
We're 37 days into shooting, and nobody has really updated the script.
Wait, how many more days do we have left? Three. Oops. Fix it in post. That's why most of the movie is ADR'd.
If anybody has perhaps an idea of what toot is,
please.
Is it mushrooms mixed with acid, mixed with Molly, mixed with a fart?
or is he just huffing a lot of paint? Is he tooting the paint in his nose? What is it? I don't.
Did you ever have a weird cousin that called farting tooting?
I think I called it tooting. Does that make me weird? Toots? Nah. Well, then there's that song Toot It and Boot It. Which is all about, I think it's about having sex with a girl and then kicking her to the curb.
Yeah.
But
so toot
it sounds like you're Dutch ovening her and then kicking her out, which is just even more rude than the kicking into a curb. Tootin' and booted.
So we did too much toot. And in other words, that he was Howard the Duck can take down a guy that's been on some toot.
Yeah,
he knows quack foo.
He knows quack foo, which is the first. This is a huge plot hole that we were talking about. Is that Howard the Duck doesn't really ever do anything heroic in this movie ever. Mm-hmm. The only scene is when he kicks the crap out of these two guys
and then puts the shoulder laser on the end and blows.
Let's do that now. Okay. Let's talk about that now and do some sound clips because that's the thing. Yeah. This builds up to this big. Out of nowhere,
there's a terrible chase scene in a motorcycle, helicopter,
it goes
airplane,
on forever.
Go-kart. That's awful.
Goes on for the longest chase scene ever. It's like
Tim Robbins puts together this plane made of go-kart
in
parts
in 3 minutes,
and then he's like, "Howard, you fly.
Fly it, Howard." Because they were like, "Oh yeah, Howard has not done. He's the most inactive hero ever." And then they face off with the guy who with Dr. Jennings, who's now becoming a creature. He's like claws
ben,
and like a.
His name isn't Dr. Jennings anymore.
It's someone else. Thank you. Right, sorry, they face off with someone else. And once again, Tim Robbins, the character of Filzy,
and by the way,
finds the gun and gives it to Howard.
Filzy never calls himself Filzy, and neither does Leah. All of a sudden, Howard the Duck, master of nicknames, decides to call him Filzy.
During the world's worst chase scene ever.
Filzy!
Filzy, get up here! And then Filzy finds a gun and is like, well, it's never been tested before. And then again, instead of him firing it with the knowledge he actually has, he goes, Howard, strap yourself into this weird, like,
six-wheeled lab go-kart that just has to be hanging around.
And now, instead of shooting him from a safe distance, drive head-on with him and start firing halfway.
Yeah.
Once you're halfway towards him. What? Well, you were talking about that when we were watching. You're like, why does he drive? He does it twice.
Yeah, just start shooting the freaking laser.
And then somehow that laser beam doesn't kill Dr. Jennings.
No.
It releases someone else from him, which earlier they say they can't live on this planet unless they're in a host.
Right.
So logic out the window.
Right.
You take it from here, though. I'm bogarting the laser beam
Then all of a sudden, the world starts shaking in the lab, and out pops an animatronic claymation dinosaur that sort of looks like,
like the monster from the Sarlacc pit mixed with a Rancor. Mixed with a scorpion.
Scorpion mixed with Predator, mixed with Jabba the Hutt.
Mixed with, like, yeah, it's basically every monster in Return of the Jedi combined into one claymation.
And it's melting a little bit, so it's Pizza the Hutt, too.
Yeah.
And it's also sort of like the monsters in The Strain, remember we said, because his mouth comes out and starts trying to suck
you out. Oh, yeah, that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That terrified me as a kid.
Awful. So then Howard's like, well, I'll take this guy down. So he starts shooting him with the freaking laser. And then but it takes him like 15 minutes to realize that he should use the laser again.
Yeah.
The only weapon in the lab that everybody should use. And the monster that seems to know everybody's name because he's been hanging around all day. He doesn't think, let me take out the laser. The laser's just sitting over there on the tank.
And they set a clock to be like, we have 4 minutes I bring more dark overlords from the planet. Blah, blah, blah. That's a real planet. That was another placeholder.
So finally, he's like, oh, I guess I better get back to the laser. He takes it off of... Well, he doesn't need to. He takes it off of the mini tank, puts it on his shoulder, decides to start... He blows up the guy, and then one shot blows up the laser.
No, he doesn't even take it off his shoulder. He's still on the cart again.
Now it's back on the cart.
He just gets... It literally is a repetition of the exact same thing he already did.
It took 20 minutes to get there, too, by the way. And then smash cut to the song.
He blows up the guy, and then blows up the tunnel... And then they're all saved. Dr. Jennings is okay. And now apparently Howard is the manager of the band.
And Filzy is
Is the tech guy.
Yeah, he's the engineer.
Because that's a lot more important than any scientific research he can do. Oh, but we have so many more sound clips that are great we gotta roll with.
Okay.
That's the end of the movie. So
JT.
we went over the plot holes. Now, I'd love to do the It's Nothing.
Oh, yeah, It's Nothing.
This is another thing that sums up Tim Robbins' character. It's Nothing.
It's Nothing! It's Nothing! Never mind!
Carry on, Dr. Chicken.
So, one time when I was a kid and we had... What's happening? Okay, hold on.
My soundboard froze for a second there.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure you weren't starting right away.
I'll draw it out. When I was a kid and I was 13, we had dial-up internet. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to look up nudie pics, because you couldn't even get video with dial-up. It would take 2 hours to load a video. So I'd just load Playboy photos. It was in the room next to my parents. So they'd be asleep. And I'd fire that up at night at like 11:30, be like, and I'm like, And I remember one time it woke my parents up and they came out and they were like, Ben, what are you doing? And I said,
It's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
And it just really confused them. They were like, all right, okay, Jesus, okay.
Calm down. Pull your pants on. it was New Year's Eve day of about 1994. My brother and I had a fight, and I was running up the stairs, and I slipped, and my knee went through the wall and dented the outside of the siding at our house, and my dad comes running down, and I screamed,
It's nothing! It's nothing! Never mind!
Carry on, Dr. Chapin.
There was at one point in college, this guy that I was friends with, he got drunk and he tried to pick me up and he slammed me against the wall and my ass busted the drywall.
Oh, yeah.
And then the people who were paying the rent and stuff came down and they were like, what the hell is this? And I was like,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
Carry on, Dr.
This might be my favorite sound clip we've ever done.
I think it is.
Okay. One time I went into it was a 7-Eleven. This is back in Pittsburgh. And I went up to the counter and you could tell the guy was a little weird. And I held up it was one of those cherry pies. Like I wanted a cherry pie and a Gatorade. And I asked him how much it was. And he said,
It's
free.
It's free.
It's free. You just take it.
I have a tendency to eat a lot of Girl Scout cookies, okay. And my wife calls me out on it. And she caught me the other day as I was just jamming on a box of Tagalongs. I had like five in one sitting. And she was like, honey, what are you doing? And I shut the freezer door and went,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
Carry on,
doctor.
Every day, every time, every week for the show, I go to pick up JTE and drive him to the studio. And the one time I picked him up, and he was on the telephone, and he said, "No, I love you. Goodbye." And I was like, "Who are you talking to?"
It's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
JT, would you like to have a rebuttal on that one? Or?
I'm trying to think of one, and I can't think of anything to go. I think Bigley hit out of the park with that first one. Yeah. How many times has your parents come on you, or got a dirty magazine or a porno, and you're just like,
it's nothing. Never mind.
Whenever this is brought up at a panel where George Lucas is talking, and they're like, hey, they're like, George Lucas, so what are your thoughts on Howard the Duck? You know, some people say that it's a failure of a movie, and he just goes,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
That's his response to any time they ask for a sequel.
Well, weirdly enough, though, we were talking about it, and I kind of felt bad because we were making fun of him for a while, but I went to go visit Dr. William Hoik, as he calls himself, in his psych world.
The director of
Howard the Duck. And I wanted to know his opinions on people's feelings on Howard the Duck, and he just responded quickly,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
Actually, Tim Robbins, in his acceptance speech, when he won for, I think he won for
Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah. When he won for Best Supporting Actor, he was like, and I'd also like to thank Howard. And then he stopped himself, and everyone looked at him, and on live television, he said,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
Carry on, Duck.
That was the last time we saw Tim Robbins.
Weirdly enough, Idina Menzel, big, big fan of Howard the Duck. And in her first interview, post face fondling by John Travolta after the Oscars, and they said, how did you feel about that? She screamed,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
That's actually after the documentary Going Clear, I believe it's called, about Scientology came out.
Yeah.
The Church of Scientology's official response was,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
That's all I got.
After in Terminator 2, when they were talking about the re-release of T2 and the building of it, and Linda Hamilton is in the psych ward, and then they finally found out that there's another Terminator chasing him down. The doctor, who's shocked, tells her,
"It's nothing."
That wasn't the best. I went too far.
I went too far. The time that my wife walked in on me watching... we had watched Pitch Perfect the night before, and I'm smitten with Anna Kendrick, and so I was watching it the next day, like in the morning again, fully clothed, nothing creepy, but I reacted...
Fully clothed for you, by the way, is no pants, just a shirt.
Yeah, of course, and socks. Mm-hmm. I reacted as if she had caught me watching porn, and she's like, Ben, what are you doing? And I said...
It's nothing! It's nothing! Never mind!
And then I started singing along to the Cup song. Oh. I got my ticket for the wrong way home.
Real quick, guys, Heisenberg on... the chat here wants to know what you guys thought of his appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy, Howard the Duck.
I actually love that. I thought that was one of the best end credit tags ever because it fit the movie Guardians of the Galaxy so well.
Maybe given Howard some redemption?
I think so, yeah, because I think that, I forget what he says. He says something.
I think he goes, what did he say, Derry JT? What did he say? What did Howard the Duck say in Guardians of the Galaxy? I think we have a clip of it.
Oh, he's like, disgusting.
No. We have a clip of it.
Oh, on Guardian of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You're missing the whole joke, JT.
I'm not sure which one.
He's nothing.
He looked at the collector, and the collector said...
It's nothing. Never mind.
Because the collector was sitting there talking about the five Infinity Gems, and which are Infinity Stones in the comics, and Howard the Duck's going, what are you talking about? Who's Thanos? And he goes...
It's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
So if Howard would just tell the Avengers and everything, then the Infinity War would never happen, and Phase 3 of Marvel would not exist.
Oh, it's kind of like when you talk to Matt LeBlanc about his turn in the movie Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the movie?
No, Lost in Space. Lost in Space.
And you're like, so Matt, what did you think of the script when you first read it?
It's nothing! It's nothing! Never mind!
Carry on, Doctor.
Carry on, Doctor.
It's sort of like
that time that, you know, you go into the doctor and, let's just say the dentist, and he's like...
Oh, I thought you were going to do an STD check joke.
No. I mean, that's
too easy.
That's 2004,
too easy. Yeah.
2005.
Nobody gets STD checks anymore.
Guys, come on. Just use a used condom from a duck's wallet. Yeah. You'll be fine. You go into the dentist and he, you know, you're on some laughing gas and he's filling your cavity. He's like, how did I do? How'd I do? And the dentist goes,
it's nothing. It's nothing. Never mind.
What kind of dentist do you go to?
The dentist in Batman, the first Michael Keaton one that fixes the Joker's face.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good one.
Yeah.
He's the only one I could get on Obamacare. So.
End this episode on an Obamacare joke.
On Obamacare joke. This was a lot of fun. I mean, I feel like sometimes the worst the movies are.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It's a really good time. Guys, as always, thank you for watching and being a part of our fun little program here. I thought we were going to play Howard the Duck on the way out, but I guess not.
Maybe we still can.
Can we still play? No, we can't. Can we get it in there, JT? Can we get some Howard?
Wait. There we go. Oh, it's a remix. It's both.
You can follow us on Twitter at Josh McCuga, at Ben Bagley Comedy. Any of the YouTube comments, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, give us some recommendations. You guys have been giving us some really, really good options. So thank you. Ben?
See you next week.
Until then.
Sure to visit popcorntalk.com. Sir Richard Ruffin, and this has been a presentation of the